Welcome, everybody, one more time to PWT Talks NXT, where we talk about the last episode of NXT. A pretty decent one, a stacked one as far as matches go. We got four matches this week, which we don't always get, and a few important things. A lot of moving parts in this episode, as has often been the case. And there are three of us here this week to talk about this. I'm Kelly Wells. I write the NXT Tracker on the website. I've got one coming up here in a couple of days. And that's just a look at NXT talent that's on their way up. And I host this podcast. I also have Justin James here today. Justin, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Justin James. I cover NXT for PWT for our weekly, our TV coverage. Yes.
Well,
you can find me at Twitter at Justin_M_James. I promise I write better than I speak.
There we go. All right. And I've also got Tom Stout. Tom.
I also write better than I speak. And you can read my MLW 0 Hour report on PW Torch right now. That is my most recent piece for the site. MLW 0 Hour was a very exciting event. And they're coming back February 8th with the beginning of their championship tournament. So keep an eye out for that as well. I also do the NXT tapings reports when they emanate from Full Sail University. So it's actually been a nice change of pace to see these tapings out of Atlanta and not know what's coming for a few weeks here. And I am on Twitter at Tom Stout if you would like to follow me and hear me contradict myself even more than I do on the podcast.
Perfect. What is this for if not to make us regret things that we've said in the past? I think that's
that was alcohol.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's that too. All right. We will take your emails. This week we blew up. We got we actually got four emails, but one was just a link to a Bryan Danielson interview in NXT, which is great, but there was no question, so I didn't have anything about it. So we got three questions this week. If you want to send us a question, something you want us to cover, if we haven't covered it recently, we'll at least take a stab at it, and we will give all the correct answers because we have all the answers here, so you can take our word as bond. Go ahead and email us at pwtorchnxt@gmail.com. pwtorchnxt@gmail.com. Our first one, we're going to go ahead and start with one here, tee off everything with a question about Aleister Black. This is from Dylan DeBaca. What's your view on Aleister Black's gimmick? Do you think it will work on the main roster, and who do you see him feuding with? Does he fit better with SmackDown or Raw? Thanks, guys. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, well, this is a good follow-up on our discussion about him last week when we were talking about 2018 call-ups, and we pretty much agreed that he'll probably be coming up this year, perhaps even sooner rather than later. And my short answer is that Aleister is perfect as is. He's one of those NXT acts where I could see them not changing a darn thing, and he will fit in perfectly. Long answer, it's WWE. I could see them either dropping his last name, getting the E out of his first name, even though that is how you spell Aleister. They did the same thing with Sheamus. They added the H in there just so more of us know how to pronounce it when we see it spelled out. this is definitely not another case of Adam Rose. It's like they'll probably tweak a few things here in the lighting scheme, but I think this gimmick is going to translate perfectly to the main roster. I guess now that I'm saying that, I could see them maybe saying like, oh, I don't like when he sits in the ring. He looks too small. Don't let him sit anymore. and as far as who he feuds with, I guess there are a couple of obvious choices that kind of go without saying, like, you know, similarly, not off kilter, but, you know, just sort of darker characters like Bray Wyatt is obviously the first one that pops to mind. But I could just see where some smarmy heel goes out there and is just cutting some sort of, you know, promo about how great they are and like a, you know, like a Miz type. And then the music hits or the fog starts in that's either the debut or that's either sort of what he does for a while. He interrupts people and gives us something to cheer for while we were just, you know, feeling having such a man. See, there I go. See, I write better than I talk. I forget my vocabulary. You know what I'm saying.
All right, Justin, how do you feel?
Yeah, we had this discussion recently where we talked about one of the struggles that NXT gimmicks have translating to the main roster is that in NXT they grew organically over a period of time, and then they just threw them onto the main roster with that gimmick, right? You had the Bo Leave, which was a natural evolution of Bo Dallas, and you just threw Bo Leave onto the main roster, and everybody was lost. With Aleister Black, his gimmick doesn't evolve. His character doesn't change. That's part of its charm. He's the Undertaker, right? He's one of those. He's John Cena. He just doesn't change. He is who he is. He has his thing, and we're all very happy and appreciative of it. And so, because of that, and also the other thing too is that unlike, say, Adam Rose, the appreciation in NXT is not this ironic or this is our in little joke thing, right? Like you had with the vaudevillains, right? That was another inside joke that everybody found humorous, but it flops on the main roster because that audience doesn't get the joke. Aleister Black is cool. It doesn't matter. You know, it just doesn't matter what roster. His gimmick is cool. He is cool. He's a destroyer. He's awesome. He's fun. He's great in the ring, and he'll do phenomenally well unchanged. Please don't touch Aleister Black.
Yeah. Right. That's a great point. You understand it immediately. You don't need that precursor narrative that we might argue either needs to be retold in some way or might argue that people just need to go back and watch freaking NXT because it's good.
Yeah, this is why you see so many gimmicks, like high concept, goofy ass gimmicks on the indies, is because you don't have that TV show to get everybody ready for what they're about to see. So if you want your show to play to an appreciative audience, you give them something they can latch onto immediately. Like in the show that I just went to, one of the heels in the opening tag match was a cop, and he planted, like in one of the first spots of the match, he planted drugs on one of the baby faces and tried to get away with it. It's ridiculous, of course, but you do something high concept like that and it works. And so I totally agree with Justin there. I think the most telling thing that any of us could say here is what Justin said. Aleister Black is cool. He is cool. And that's why I think this is going to work, because this is the kind of coolness that guys spend years trying to perfect. As far as the entrance, we already knew that something like this worked because it worked with the Brood. It's very, very similar to what the Brood did. And the Brood didn't get any mic time because none of those guys really, really did it at that point. We didn't know that Edge could talk for quite a while. We didn't know that Christian could kind of talk for a little while. And this is going to work. We don't need to hear him very much. Tonight we heard him more than we ever have. And short story long, yes. Yes, dear reader, dear listener. Sorry, you're listening to us, not reading us. I think that Aleister Black is going to work on the main roster. As far as who I think he should face, I also would say The Miz. I said that last week. I think I would love to see that entrance. And if it's in the Rumble, great. If it's not in the Rumble, I would love to see him come out, hammer the crap out of Bo and Axel. And, of course, Miz gets away. But then that's where the feud begins. So yeah, Aleister Black. We like him on PWT Talks NXT. We're going to go to our main event of this week's show. It was Street Profits versus Authors of Pain. Relatively brief. And I think I'm glad it was, because the Authors, I don't think they gain much by having a long match with the Street Profits. And so they kind of pushed this match over the last week or two. We got undefeated streak of Street Profits out of the way. That's not there anymore. What do you have to say about this one, Justin?
It was exactly what it needed to be. The Street Profits got in enough offense, or at least Angelo Dawkins got in enough offense, where they didn't take a big harm to their credibility. The Authors of Pain have been a dominant force, to use WWE parlance, for a couple years now. They are, you know, just brutal in the ring. Nobody expected Street Profits to win this match. They looked good for stepping up and making the challenge. They looked good for taking the loss in 6.5 minutes instead of 2.5 minutes. The Authors of Pain did not look terribly weak for taking 6.5 minutes to beat an undefeated team. You know, that's not bad. You know, if it went on 10 minutes, I think it would have just made the Profits look a little bit too strong, for, you know, considering that most of their wins are squash matches against jobbers. The match was just exactly what it needed to be.
Yeah, I agree. You know, as much as I like the Profits, it, if there was any story to this, it was sort of, can they step up to the level that AOP is at, to at least hang with them longer, get a little bit more offense and a little bit more of fire in their babyface comeback. But yeah, no, I have very little to add to that. It was pretty much what we expected, and I don't think the Profits are hurt by it at all.
Yeah, this was a main event that definitely wasn't one where we were sitting there wondering who was going to win, which happens every now and then, but rarely to this degree do we wonder, do we have no doubt how this match is going to end. I thought it was okay. I will say that I guess I thought maybe I'll watch it again, but I kind of saw Angelo Dawkins's offense is a bit lethargic tonight. I don't know what it was. It just seemed like he was kind of going through motions. Maybe I'll just watch it again and not feel that way, but that's kind of what I thought. But maybe I am comparing him to Montez Ford, who is never lethargic and always fire in there. So
you know, it's fun because when this match started, my kid looked at me. He said, "Daddy, who thinks going to win?" I said, "Are you asking?" He says, "Yeah." I said, "The Authors of Pain are going to destroy the Street Profits." And he says, "No, the Street Profits are undefeated. They've got a chance, Dad." Like, okay, son, you keep thinking that. They're going to get wrecked.
Right. I mean, they had never lost. I get what your son was thinking. But so I guess the enhancement matches work in the way that they're intended to, since the Ultimate Mark, a kid, believed that they had a chance. So. So yeah, that was your main event. And yeah, that's about as little as we can possibly say about a main event. Actually, my second talking point I have here is the match that we were going to get next week that we actually hyped without one of the participants. Johnny Gargano and the Velveteen Dream are going to go next week. Johnny's putting his number one contendership on the line. As essentially, gosh, now I want to say Thea Trinidad. Selena Vega got him to put this on the line, more or less, and as a good heel should. So I thought from that standpoint, it worked. It was really weird not to see Dream talk about this, but maybe we'll see a deeper conspiracy into this. This could go a lot of interesting directions. Tom, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I agree it could. And, you know, as we watch the story develop, I know, you know, here I go contradicting myself. Last week I said I would hesitate before getting too cutesy with the main event of TakeOver Philadelphia. But I'm kind of at a point where I'm high enough on Dream that let's see if we can insert him. Definitely don't take the spot away from Johnny, though. But, you know, if it remains the one-on-one match, which I fully expect it to, I'm for that as well, and this is a good step up the card for Dream. Hopefully he can stay in this realm for a little while. Well, I think it was good that we got to see yet another dimension to Johnny Gargano. It's not that he's completely one-dimensional by any means, but we usually just see him come out to the ring and smile, and he's a likable personality, and you know, maybe a few cracks start to show here and there. But this was really the first time we saw a different attitude from him, and it may not have worked for me just in the context of this particular promo, even though I like that they're involving Dream in this storyline. To what end? I think at this point I'm in favor of wherever it may go. I hope that Dream can sort of stay in this realm of the card for a while. But one thing I'm hoping that they add, because this works for me far better than Angry Johnny works, is on Twitter, I believe it was today, Johnny Gargano shared some childhood pictures of when he would actually make his own title belts out of just, you know, materials, I think, that his dad brought home or, you know, something like that. But it was really cool to see these pictures of young Johnny, like, legitimately as a little kid dreaming of one day holding a major title belt. And I think that did far more for me than Angry Johnny did.
Wow.
Don't just listen to PW Torch's brand of wrestling coverage. Read it, too, every day at pwtorch.com. Join me Monday nights for my live coverage of Raw, Tuesday nights for my live coverage of SmackDown, Sunday nights for my live coverage of WWE pay-per-views, and keep up on the news and read exclusive editorials and special features every day at pwtorch.com.
Justin, this segment...
I loved Angry Johnny. Because to me it was the right reaction. It was him, you know, having that moment of, I'm tired of it. You know, I'm tired of people being told that I was the weak link in DIY. You know, arguably he was always the one who was begging for the hot tag. You know, I'm tired of being told that it was a fluke because, you know, that was supposed to be the match that Dream had. I thought it put over Zelina Vega very hard by making her look so clever for being able to bait Gargano into this match. I thought the fact that she felt the need to bait Gargano into the match put Gargano over, because she's basically signaling, I think that Dream is a weaker opponent than Gargano. I'd rather have Almas face Dream than Gargano, even though Dream went toe-to-toe with Aleister Black for almost 20 minutes, right? So to say that Dream is the opponent, is her preferred pick as an opponent than Gargano, puts Gargano over. I was just very pro on this whole, you know, arc that they had, this in episode arc, very pro on it.
Yeah, I like this too. It'll be interesting to see how Dream reacts to all this, if we get any mic time for him before this match happens.
Oh, please, yes.
Yeah, I hope we get something, because, A, I just love every chance that I get to hear him.
Yes, I look forward to his promos. They're so good.
Yeah, he's beautifully weird. I just love it.
Yeah, it's like if Bray Wyatt is like Bray Wyatt has that great delivery of total nonsense. Mm-hmm. Dream has this amazing delivery of things that actually make sense.
Right. I just love hearing him, and I think what he's going to have to say is interesting here. And will he pick up on the fact that Zelina is doing what she's doing? Just so many ways this could go. Uh-huh. And if they decide to pull the trigger on a three-way match, then what do they do there? What's the dynamic in the match?
Sure.
Very interested in this.
Does Ciampa screw up this match next week? Does Dream win and get the number one contender? Does Gargano win? And does this go to a no finish and now it's a three-way match? You don't know. And unlike the usual setup for these things, you're okay with it no matter what. And not just like, okay, like, yeah, I could live with that, but like, no matter what happens, you're going to be psyched. Dream and Almas will feel super fresh.
Yeah.
Gargano and Almas has the possibility of Gargano finally winning one out of three and redeeming himself. The three-way match could be very exciting. Three very good workers in the ring. And you say, no matter how I cut this, I'm going to be thrilled with the outcome. I love it.
Lots to look forward to. I'm loving it. And also, the one thing we know about next week is that we will also get part two of the TM61 bit that we got today. Big, big fan of these. I've never made it quiet that I love these little mini documentaries. TM61 with the mini documentary. Tom.
Yeah, as we keep saying, keep giving these to us. At the start of the segment, I was that guy going, you know, TM61. I know everybody seems to like them, but they are those characters that come out, and their whole character is, I'm a good wrestler. And that very rarely does much for me. And by the end of the segment, I don't know how long was it, 5 minutes? By the end of that segment, I was excited to see what's coming next. We've got some goofy personalities that are getting highlighted. The again, sort of like I mentioned with the Johnny Gargano photos, we see some old footage of them wrestling each other, which was really cool to see. And sort of like Obi-Wan Harley Race giving them the rub. And, you know, and the fact that I probably should have guessed this, but I did not realize that they were young boys at one point, which is like instant credibility in the wrestling world, of course. So, yeah, super, super effective video package, because I went from not really caring about them all that much to wanting to see what they do next.
Yeah, I watch a lot of New Japan, and so the young boys concept is fascinating to me, and I love it. So seeing that I might have gotten more out of this than the average NXT viewer, but I really, really dug this. I like these guys in the ring, and now I'm starting to be given a reason to like them, like, which they didn't really do the first time around. Justin?
Yeah, that was exactly my reaction. Is I think the way I wrote it, I said, we learned more about these guys in the last 5 minutes than we did in their entire previous run before the injury. And one of the things I like about this is that they have this internal consistency, right? Because they're now called, you know, they always label these things, who is Roderick Strong? Who is Ember Moon? This was, who are TM61? You know, I think the first one of these they did was, who is Finn Balor? I think Finn Balor was the first one that they did in this format. And it's a fantastic format. I remember, you know, when I saw the Finn Balor one, I said, now I get it. I'm a fan. TM61, like you said, their character was, we're good in the ring. That was, by the way, that was DIY's gimmick too. We're good in the ring.
Right.
We're the tag team version of Sami Zayn. And TM61, now they have a personality. They're funny. They cut up. They're goofballs. They're kind of dorks, but they're good in the ring. But we know that they work hard. You know, thing with Japan, blah blah blah. Very cool. I love these packages. I don't think they've ever failed to enhance somebody significantly with this package, and I'm glad they're putting it behind TM61, who could add a lot of value to the tag team division if we know who they are.
Right. All right, so we got three other matches on this one to talk about. We got Aaliyah versus Lacey Evans. Lacey getting the first real push she's had. Was this her first win? I want to say it is. I'm not her biggest fan, but we finally know who Lacey Evans is. We finally know who this character is supposed to be. She's working heel, which works for me because I didn't like her. So, you know, it's fine for me. I thought it was kind of funny that Morrow said he talked about all these things that she's done in life, being a Marine and everything like that, and then talked about her inspirational story, and then she gets to like working heel all the way through the match, and I thought they still don't know what they want to do with her. It was so odd to have him open that way, almost as if he, the announcer, was taken aback and somebody said in his ear, oh, hey, by the way, she's working heel now, so, you know, lay off. So there was that. We had Roddy versus Eichner. I continue to love Eichner as a budding character. And we had Sabatelli and Moss finally getting their first win, I think, up on Heavy Machiner. Anything on these other three matches, guys?
Yeah, I think it will be to the surprise of no one that the women's segment was my favorite part of the night. We haven't been too kind to Lacey on this podcast, but and with fair reason, since her character is a little confusing, but she's obviously got something in the ring, and I feel like I like her a little bit more every time I see her in that regard. And I really, like you did, I liked them defining her at least a little bit more as a heel, having her double down on it with the promo afterwards, so we can identify her a little bit more. I think one of the issues is that usually gimmicks can be, which is probably something you want to aim for, the same way, you know, when you're writing an essay or a screenplay, they tell you, like, well, you want to be able to, like, what's the log line? You want to be able to describe it in just a couple sentences, and you can't really describe what she is in just a sentence or two. But I feel like she's sort of that, you know, the meme you see online, the get you someone who can do both. And she's, you know, she prides herself on being able to bake a mean apple pie, but she can also whoop your butt in tactical gear as well. And she's a proud mom, and she, you know, so on and so forth. There's so many different facets to it. But if we're going to continue to focus her and put her in a feud with Nikki Cross, as she called out Nikki Cross, of course she called out several others as well, but that was the big first one. Got a big reaction when she called out the pathetic pirate, who of course went on to win the tournament that Lacey lost in the second round. But, you know, I one specific thing I really liked was that she used the phrase, which could have just been a coincidence, but she used the phrase, "I'm going to clean house." And I really, really liked that because, of course, something that she, like I mentioned, something she prides herself on is being the good in terms of what we think of as a stereotypical housewife. She excels at that, but she also excels at a lot of other things that, you know, in that stereotypical sense, women aren't generally considered, you know, thought of in, as being good at, like being on a SWAT team. So I think it would get great heel heat if she put a lot extra emphasis and focus on the cleaning house phrase. I just really liked what the segment parlayed into, of course, because at this point you can just flash Shayna's face on my screen and I'll flip out. And I am surprised, though, that we have a confirmed title match for Shayna at Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And I feel like... I thought they were going
with her and Kyrie, and I thought, yeah, this was quick.
Or something. Well, I think this is probably part of the reason why I had an issue with Regal taking issue with Shayna so quickly, because Shayna was immediately targeting the title from the first time she set foot in on NXT TV a couple weeks ago, and already. Regal is stepping in her way, but now just a week later having to buckle to the champion saying that she wants a match regardless of what Regal says. So a little messy there. I mean, the story's all being told at a single taping, so you have to imagine that they have something plotted out that made sense to them. I'm not sure if I'm picking up all those pieces in the way they're meant to be, but hey, I'm excited for Shayna and Ember, and all my money's on Shayna.
Well, all right. Justin, those other three matches, anything to add?
I wasn't a big fan of the presentation of Lacey Evans. I didn't be very specific. I thought everything she did with what she was given was perfect, right? She did a really good job with the promo. You know, I like that she had, you know, these really nasty little descriptive names for everybody. You know, that psychopath Nikki Cross, and, you know, the pathetic pirate princess Kairi Sane. You know, it sounded just like, you know, some stereotypical TV house mom just like saying, like, these are the kids I don't want you hanging out with, right? I don't want you hanging out with that pathetic pirate princess Kairi Sane. She smokes dope behind the school, you know, or whatever. What I didn't like was the way she kind of stared at her fist, like, oh, I didn't know I had a finisher. it just defined her down so much. Like, wow, I'm shocked I won a match. 10 seconds later, I'm calling out half the locker room. Oh, and then Shayna Baszler comes out, and I'm going to back away.
I'm okay with that since it was Shayna.
Yes, I'm okay with that because it's Shayna, but don't do it in the middle of talking tough.
Yeah, I can see where that would be taken differently, the finisher thing. Just to add the contrary viewpoint, I liked it.
We didn't know what her finisher was.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm hard pressed to think of exactly what it was, but I know she had at least like one or two that she utilized at certain points, but I liked that she kind of stumbled upon it accidentally, that, you know, this person is, you know, clearly trying to find herself and what defines her in NXT. And she the story of the action in the match, as Mauro was calling it, of course, was her utilizing, as he called it, the real estate of the ring. And she was really using the ropes and the turnbuckles to her advantage. And then, boom, out of nowhere, oh, holy crap, that actually was really effective. I'd better go for the pin. And
I thought that she sold it well. So don't get me wrong. I absolutely see your viewpoint as well. And I think what you're saying is absolutely valid. Although just for what it's worth, it worked for me and I liked it.
Now, you know, you got me thinking what would be hysterical for me in one of those, like maybe I've read too many Chikara write-ups or something ways, right? Would be if every week she stumbles into a new different finisher. Like next week she tries the punch and it doesn't work, but instead she breaks out, I don't know, the spear, and that does the job. In fact, she could just steal every week, like Mega Man, a different wrestler's finisher. Today was Big Show.
Right.
that would totally tweak the knobs for me of like my one weird thing going on in NXT.
So there you are. Lacey Evans, we're talking about you. And yeah, I think maybe there's something there, and hopefully they can find it. I'm sure they've seen something they like. I'm just bummed out to see it happen at Aaliyah's hands, because I want her to succeed so much.
Mike, is getting you and Harley mixed up? Harley's a big Aaliyah fan, too.
Oh, no. He might be as well, but I definitely am.
There can only be one.
I'm crazy about her. Well, I'll tell you what. I almost married a girl who looks a lot like Aaliyah, so I don't know if that makes her more mine or less mine. So that was many years ago, but that is how it went down. So next bit we're going to do is our acquisition wish list. We decided we were going to take a look at who we maybe wanted to sign from the indies. I mean, who's left? I know there are guys out there, or indies, or anywhere, anybody we've seen. There are a lot of options here. I just went with one name, and I don't know what you guys did. Harley couldn't think of somebody here, and he was afraid to say anybody here because he was afraid to see them lost in the shuffle. I watch a ton of New Japan, but I don't think right now I want them to sign another Japanese wrestler unless they figure out a way to get them over while having a limited vocabulary. I'd rather just see them in New Japan at that point. But I have a name regardless from the indies. But let's go with Justin, who's on your acquisition wish list.
I have been a big fan of Santana Garrett every time we see her step into the NXT ring.
Love
it. Excellent choice.
Cool. Yeah, I've watched some Santana. She's been all over the indies. She was in the tournament. She lost in the first round to, I want to say, Piper Niven. I didn't know Piper Niven before that, so I thought that Santana was moving on. I was bummed out. She's held titles everywhere. Really like Santana. She needs a hook, because right now she's just a good-looking girl with a flashy costume. So hopefully they can get her something more than that. I mean, that's not a bad start, but I hope there's more of a hook there, because she is dynamite in the ring.
Yeah, I mean, she's just one of those people who, you know, because she's had a number of enhancement talent engagements at NXT. And, you know, one of the nice things about her is you can bring her in and you can use that line, you know, she's been a champion everywhere she's been.
Yep.
To give her some credibility. But the thing is that she's just one of those people, every time I see her, she's there for 3 or 4 minutes and she just maximizes her minutes. And you know what? That kind of reminds me of, you know, somebody else who we had seen in NXT, you know, Galaxy Far, Far Away, Old Blue Pants. It was a blast.
Old Blue Pants. Yep. Follow her on Twitter. She's still
alive. So do I. Yeah, I know. I miss her. I miss Old Blue Pants. But yeah, Santana Garrett is somebody who we've seen pop up in NXT a couple times over the last few years. Always maximized her minutes. Really enjoyed her work. Would like to see more of her.
Good.
And yeah, MLW is, as much as I would like to see more women on the card, MLW has had one women's match at each show that they've done so far, and each one has featured Santana. She is their featured player for the women, and she's 3-0 right now. And actually, her second match was against Leva Bate, and it was a last-minute replacement, so the two of them didn't even really get to talk about what they were going to do. But, you know, they're pros. They were able to figure out a good story to tell, and with the Leva Bate one, and with the one right before it at MLW's first show where she wrestled Mia Yim, they played up her, with the understanding that it's not real. They're not trying to get mystical with it. They played up the headband of power, I think they call it, just sort of, you know, the Wonder Woman look. In each one, Mia and Leva stole it from Santana, and I think Santana ended up getting it back, or maybe just at least revoked it from the heel. So that was at least a little bit of addition to her character.
No matter what kind of wrestling fan you are, Ring Rust Radio is the perfect podcast for you. Every Wednesday night, Ring Rust Radio breaks down the hottest news in professional wrestling, including Raw, SmackDown, and WWE pay-per-view reviews. That isn't all, as Ring Rust Radio also delves into NXT, Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, and New Japan to discuss the latest happenings in every major company. Ring Rust Radio conducts interviews with the biggest stars in the wrestling business as well, including Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, and many more. If you're looking for your wrestling fix with an entertaining twist, check out Ring Rust Radio every week on Blog Talk Radio, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love the old theft angle. It's always hilarious to me. It's like these guys are traveling from city to city together. It's like the thief is never out of reach. But nothing ever happens unless it's on TV, like when Rick Martel stole Tatanka's feathers or whatever they did.
Remember Tyson Kidd and Yoshitatsu action figure on a pole match.
I picked Shane Strickland. I love this guy in the ring. Got to see him live last week. I'm not going to lie. I would not have thought of him, because I hadn't gotten to see any of his work in a while, if I hadn't just seen him. But I saw him in a four-way match with Eric Cannon, who is homegrown Minnesota talent, who's pretty good, who acts as the champion of First Avenue, Fire Ant, and, oh gosh, I should remember the fourth guy, but it was a guy I hadn't seen. Oh, Jason Cage. And so Strickland in this match was dynamite, and he did a little bit of mic work after, and he was okay-ish, but this is a style I could see working really well, but I'd be a little afraid of where they stashed him and what they did with him, but this is a really, really special performer. So Shane Strickland is my guy. That's my acquisition wish list, and you know, already one person from the show I saw has been signed, so maybe Shane's not far behind. Who knows?
Well, my fingers would be crossed for that. He was my runner-up pick, but I am also huge on Shane Strickland. Not only does he have my favorite entrance on the end right now, which, of course, he'd have to lose since it's copyrighted. Chuck Khan's Ain't Nobody. Some great crowd participation to go on with that. He's just, I mean, per my estimation, he's Ricochet level in the ring. And on the mic, it's funny you mentioned that he was shaking on the promo afterwards, because I've seen some promos.
Not shaky. I just said he was okay. I didn't get much of a sense of how he is. It was kept brief. And normally when it's kept brief, I assume that's for a reason. I haven't heard him on the mic otherwise. He did a basic post-match promo. He was in a four-way match for the First AB championship, and he lost to the sitting champion.
Fair. It's just I've seen promos from him where I thought, this guy's fine. Like, maybe, you know, obviously they'll want to fine-tune, like they always want to fine-tune, but he's the full package right now. And then I've seen other promos from him where I'm like, ooh, boy. Sign him to the PC, but work on that before you put him out in front of the cameras. I'm also huge on Strickland. Great look, great ring performance. I'm just, strap the rocket to that guy. My pick was Tessa Blanchard. There are so many nice names that I feel bad for not saying here. We mentioned Piper, Rachel Ellering comes to mind. We also mentioned Mia Yim, who, honestly, if Mia Yim is not signed by the end of 2018, I will be completely flabbergasted. But Tessa, after seeing, you know, the first time I saw kind of her new version of herself after her first stint in NXT, when she kind of just seemed like if Summer Rae was in an episode of Star Trek where they go to the dimension where Spock has a goatee, That was Tessa Blanchard in NXT before. Then she comes back, Mae Young Classic. She has that amazing match with Kairi in the first round. From there, she became a draw for me. And I try not to throw that word around too much, but when I hear that Tessa is going to be on in a match that I can conceivably see, whether it be on YouTube or Twitch or wherever, I make sure I see that match because Tessa has become a big deal to me. I did have the pleasure of meeting her at an MLW event. She was there to support her boyfriend Ricochet, who was performing, and she could not have been sweeter.
I did not know about that.
Oh, yeah, they're very public with their relationship, although I may clarify that, you know, this Ricochet's recent signing is, which of course, like, I think just 2 weeks ago on the show, I was saying, no, despite all the reports, I don't think that's going to happen. And here we are. But that did not at all influence my pick here. They are completely separate acts, and I'm just huge on Tessa. I know she recently announced that she is going to be at the, or she's going to be on the Bullet Club's All In the show, which I think is happening September 1st. So I don't think that's really the kind of thing I could see somebody pulling out of. It seems like a pretty big deal. I mean, being on NXT would be a big deal too, but I feel like if it's going to happen, it's probably going to happen later in the year.
I want to say somebody already pulled out of it, so we might see more of this happen. Somebody who was signed, War Machine, I know was going to be on it, and now they're signed.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah. So it could be.
Yeah, I will be pleased because I think highly enough of Tessa that I think you can immediately slot her in a top role. And I think her ceiling, and this has nothing to do with her lineage, that's just like a bonus here. I think her ceiling is where we're seeing Charlotte Flair, and Charlotte Flair hasn't even met her ceiling yet, but I could see them on even footing.
All right, and that is our acquisition wish list. That was a good idea. I don't remember which one of you guys came up with that, but I'm a fan. We're going to move on to a reader email from Michael McGivern from Minneapolis. All right, yep, that's where I live too. All right, so Minneapolis representing. So Michael McGivern comes at us with, "Hello, just discovered the show and am loving it as NXT is my favorite. My question today is, whom do you see making an impact on the main roster someday who hasn't appeared much on NXT and isn't one of Triple H's softball ringers, as Bruce Mitchell would say, like Finn Balor, Nakamura, Samoa Joe, etc.? For me, every time Cesar Bononi has appeared, he's made the most of his minutes, and while she's incredibly green in the ring, you can't teach Rhea Ripley's size and looks. Anybody jump out at you? Thanks, Michael McGivern." I'll go ahead and start with this. I'll double down on Bononi. I really like what he's done in the ring, and he is somebody that I remember. He got a fluke win on somebody, and I can't remember if that was our champion or if that was somebody else. But Bononi's he's off the schneid. And he is somebody who has gotten a win before. We actually decided to do something here called A Star is Born. Basically, we're going to take somebody who's treated as enhancement talent right now. But we think in the coming year, they will be doing something higher up the card. I do like Bononi. I don't like Rhea Ripley. I didn't say that back when Tom mentioned that he liked her from the tournament. But I'm not super high on her. Her look, I know, is going to get over, but man, did I not like her in the ring. So hopefully they take their time with her, because I'll like her eventually if she gets her work in and if she comes back when she's ready. I don't want to hold it against her, but when they bring in people when they're not ready, it always bugs me. So for me, Star is Born. I'm going to start with somebody who was on today's show, Fabian Aichner. Oh boy, I like this guy in the Cruiserweight Classic, and I like him now. And I think his decision to bulk up was a good one, keep himself out of that Cruiserweight division. I think he could be real good. I don't know how he's going to be on the mic. They're keeping that real that part of it they're just not doing right now. They obviously like him because he's getting a lot of minutes on TV, and he's having good matches with guys that we know that he's not going to beat. Roddy hasn't been overwhelming, but we knew that Roddy would probably beat him this week. Fabian is somebody who has yet to win on TV, I think, or did he get... I don't remember if he got one or not, but...
He got one over on Gargano.
Oh, right, yes, he did. Yeah, right, to further...
Did it involve a T-shirt?
it may have. For the women, I decided that I was going to say Vanessa Bourne. I think that this is another look that they will not overlook. This probably comes off as a little bit hypocritical of me, because I said this for Rhea Ripley, but I think that her look will get her over, and I think that she'll be doing really good things here in the coming year. I think she's okay in the ring and only getting better, but she is somebody who's getting her character part of it faster than she's getting the in-ring general part of it. But I think that Vanessa Bourne within the year could be doing really well. Justin, who's your star is born?
There's so many choices on the male side, of course. Benoni, everything that you guys said about him, I'll agree with. I like the guy a lot, from what we've seen, maximizes his minutes. Fabian Aichner, though, is definitely going to be my pick as well, just because I haven't seen this guy in anything I didn't like so far. I've seen him at a couple house shows, and I thought he just let it all out. He's got – his moveset has so much potential as a babyface. He's like a bigger version of Neville. And so he's able to do some of these power moves that, Neville could do on a smaller person. But you can tell Aichner can do them on a bigger person. So he's like an Apollo Crews. He's an Apollo Crews that hopefully they can give more personality to besides I smile.
Right.
So I like Aichner. I like Ike. For the ladies, I'm gonna have to pick Belair, Bianca Belair. She's just got this thing to her. I love the power that she brings to the ring. It reminds me a lot of Beth Phoenix, who, when I came into watching WWE, Beth Phoenix was really on the top, and she was the one that always stood out to me as like, wow, that is a woman's wrestler, right? Was Beth Phoenix. And Bianca Belair has that total package of the power. You feel that she can hit some high impact moves. I love seeing her do the delayed vertical suplex with the squats, because that's like a 300-pound man move. And it always tickles me when I see it. It always gets me when I see a woman wrestler doing a big man move. I always like that. I'm gonna go with Bianca Belair and Fabian Aichner.
The only reason I didn't choose Bianca is because I thought that maybe she was already beyond that enhancement level already. I absolutely adore Bianca. I definitely think we'll see more of her. I just decided to take it as somebody who really has not won, in both cases hadn't won. Well, I forgot about the Gargano match. But yeah, big, big ups for Belair as well. Who do you have, Tom?
Well, I'll take the opportunity to read Harley's submission because there is crossover between Justin's, mine, and Harley's. We all went with Bianca for the women. Harley's notes are that he says, "I love her look and attitude. I'm only familiar with her work in the Mae Young Classic and the three NXT appearances she's made so far, but she impressed me immediately. The way she uses her hair in particular is really unique and stands out. I'm confident she'll be a top name in the women's division by summer." So that's pretty bold. I am not sure I would say she would be in that mix that quickly, although I'm not going to say I would be against it, because, I won't repeat everything you guys have said, although I'll absolutely double down on the comments about her hair. It is so unique, and it makes you pay that much more attention to every little movement that she makes in the ring, even if it's just because you're worried that she's about to step on it.
It's savage. Yeah. I love that sound.
it really is. It is. So I'm also big on Belair, and you guys did cover my male choice of Fabian Aichner. I am big on him as well. So I will just take the opportunity to mention Leo Rush. I liked him on the indies, and I know he hasn't made too much of a splash in NXT so far. I think, was it last week that we saw... Oh, shoot, I don't think it was even on the show. I think it was just on the NXT Twitter account. Where after his loss,
little mini, yeah, where he said he was reevaluating.
Yes.
God, I watched that too. That's so weird. I never watched those, but I watched that one.
Well, that's interesting, yeah, that he has to go back to the drawing board or whatever it is. But he, you know, the particular way that he flips and flops around is just, it is set apart from what you typically see guys doing, which is not to take away from somebody who can do a corkscrew 450. But Leo just moves in ways that you don't really see other wrestlers doing. And this is not to say that I want NXT to become the home of flippy stuff. I'm not the biggest proponent of that. And I mean, if you know, of course, the reports are very careful to say that these new signees are signed to the PC, not to a specific brand, which is, of course, smart and I think par for the course. But if Ricochet is in NXT and I'm at a taping and he does one of those, you know, controversial moves that looks oh so choreographed and has absolutely no offensive advantage whatsoever other than just showing off what he can do, I really hope the camera doesn't cut to me, because I will grotesquely transmogrify into Jim Cornette before everyone's eyes and probably hit somebody with a tennis racket. But yeah, no, Leo is even, I don't know, he's just a unique act, so I hope he can overcome where he's at now. And of course, I'm speaking a little bit more about the attitude, social media presence thing than just the fact that he's lost twice on TV so far, but I could see him being a player.
Yeah. Oh, it's you know gonna what? Be uphill for him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean I can't really argue with where they've slotted him in. While I'm blabbing, I just remembered that Harley also, because we would lament it if we didn't have a PWT Talks NXT episode without some Harley stats. Harley, in relation to this stat, did submit stats for, let's see, the top acts in each division who have the worst record while still having won at least one match. And
I love this stat. I love this so much.
Two of these are updated as of tonight's episode. But prior to tonight's episode, in the tag division, the top act who has the worst record while still having won at least one match is Sabatelli and Moss with one win and five losses. Of course, tonight that went up to two wins. In the women's division, it's Aaliyah with one win and what as of tonight is now eight losses.
Rich Fan, formerly of the Primetime Friday Livecast with Bruce Mitchell here. I want to tell you about my new show, The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. On Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern weekly, join us as we dive into a single subject, some weeks as serious as race, gender, and stereotyping in wrestling, to as fun as which IC champs could fit into another era, and anything in between. We'll have guests from inside and outside the Torch family to cover the subject of the week, and of course your calls and emails. Prior to each episode, I'll put out on social media the subject and some notes, places where you can also bone up on the subject of the week if you're so inclined. I'll also devote shows to two of my favorite international promotions, New Japan Pro Wrestling and Progress. All are welcome. No secret handshakes here, because Saturday nights on the livecast are officially all right for diving.
And in the men's division, boy, I didn't know he had this many matches on NXT.
Well, he's been there twice. He was there, he left, he came back. So.
Oh man, there goes my memory. But it's Danny Burch with one win and 17 losses.
I love.
So yeah, very interesting stats.
I love Danny Burch. He's the toughest guy who never wins. Well, he and Oni, of course. I would have liked to pick Oni for the other thing, but I'm really, really feeling in Fabian right now. So I don't know. But yeah, Danny Burch, we salute you. Get some wins in there, buddy. I'm a fan anyway, so
So did Danny Burch actually leave NXT completely, or was he just off TV for a while?
I guess I'm not completely sure, but he was off for quite a long time, and then the first time he finally showed up again was at the UK tournament. He was in the first round, and of course he lost there, but I want to say it was a hard-hitting affair. Well, they all were in the UK tournament.
Right. I saw him on at least one indie event. I'm certainly not the expert when it comes to paying attention to every single indie event in the world.
He had left. I really think he had left. So, but yeah, I know that he worked some indie stuff there. Well, there and here. So, but I think he has a different name that he also uses.
I believe it's Martin.
Indies.
Yeah, Martin Stone.
Yes. Okay. So yeah, he was doing that for a while before he came back, and I want to say he still wrestles as Martin Stone every now and then, even now, because he's not getting all kinds of constant work on NXT. So, got to get your reps in. All right, so we have one more podcast question. It is from Andrew Gamble. This is our guy. He asks us questions almost every week. I was wondering if you guys could discuss some of the differences between NXT's homegrown talent versus the imports from other companies. It's been really cool to see top indie stars come into NXT over the last few years, but I wonder if it is at the expense of homegrown talent. I know Almas previously wrestled as La Sombra, but he feels like a whole new character as opposed to past champions like Joe and Nakamura, and to a certain extent, Roode and McIntyre, who come in and get pushed pretty quickly. It seems like NXT, at least the main event scene, has felt like a revolving door on top. Indie guys to get them ready for the main event roster instead of focusing on other members of the roster. Sincerely, Andrew Gamble. This is an awesome question. I love this. And Andrew's been coming through for us. I'm going to start this off by saying I think that to some degree this is nature of the beast, because NXT isn't just about development. It is also... it's also selling tickets. It's also much bigger than they ever thought. I know that at one point Triple H said, we set out to make a show and we accidentally built a brand. And that's what happened with NXT. So this is not – now that they tour, they need somebody to sell those tickets. So it's not surprising that the guy on top of NXT at any given time has a lot of indie cred. Because you need name recognition and you need somebody who can carry a top feud and sell those tickets for people to see that top feud coalesce. So I definitely understand this question. And from the standpoint of somebody sitting here in Minnesota, can't ever go to an NXT show unless it comes here, which has happened and I've gone to one. I get thinking like it's just about development, so who cares about that? Put this guy on the top, the homegrown talent, but I know why they do it the way they do it. And I think it's too bad, but I think that's the way it's going to be, is that we're going to continue to see guys on top who have been asked to run with the ball in other capacities at other levels. So, yeah, we'll probably see at least one or two homegrown champions over the years, but I don't know. I think the homegrown people are going to be more often like your Elias Samsons, where he does okay there, but he does better on the main roster because he doesn't have to run with the ball there, so he can continue to evolve on the main roster. And at this point, I'm blabbing Tom style, so why don't I just why don't I just jump over to Tom and see what you think about this?
Yeah, I'm very, very good at rambling on like that.
Blah, 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 blah.
That's a good impression, to be honest.
You know, you covered it pretty well with, you know, you've got the A and the B touring groups and sort of the A group that sticks closer to Florida and still reports into the PC on a daily basis as if it's, you know, their like 9-to-5 job. That's really where the development is happening. And you get people that, yeah, will go up without the title run, like you mentioned, Elias, or you even get people like we saw Mandy Rose and Sarah Logan recently go up without many, if any, NXT appearances at all, sort of a leapfrog, but they've been
developing for long enough. When you get that homegrown talent that really clicks and can really fire on the cylinders that WWE wants them to, I think you're really going to see the rocket strapped in that case, where they're going to be able to put somebody out there that they can then say, hey, it worked. Our development worked. We don't need to sign all these indie guys. And, you know, it's gonna go through the different phases, as we've already seen in NXT, where sometimes they shy away from doing that, or they'll change their names. Trevor, quote unquote, Ricochet Man from Kentucky. Beyond that, I'm probably just going to have to show some ass on this topic, because it's a dense one. It's really I've been pondering it all week, and I've sort of been dreading responding to it. Andrew did an excellent job concocting this question, and it's one that I will continue to think about post recording.
Yeah, it's the WWE in the past has not been that way too. We saw like Monday Night Wars time. They were not so kind to incoming talent from other companies, and always wanted to reinforce the idea that their guys were the best, and that if you hadn't seen them before, that was better than if you had seen them succeed in other places. That was the way it was done. And if there's ever major competition again, maybe it'll be that way again. I don't know if that's coming back around. I think that the business will change a lot with Triple H and or Shane at the helm. But that'll be interesting to see. Justin, how did you respond to this one?
You know, I think it's a great question, definitely. I think it's important that we don't confuse seeing my favorite wrestler as champion with seeing my favorite wrestler not being given opportunity, right? There can only be, in NXT we've got a total of four people who are champions. I have a roster of dozens. We've got an NXT champion, a women's champion, and two tag team champions, and that's it. So, while it's easy to be disappointed that our favorite doesn't have a championship, the reality is that what I want to see is my favorites getting screen time. I don't care if Aleister Black ever gets a championship. I want him to get screen time. That's important to me. This is why I can't stand it when they get called up to Raws, because they go from having, a 5-minute match and a 2-minute post-match interview and maybe something else in the episode to getting, a 90-second match, and their entrance was cut. Guys like Lars Sullivan is a pure PC product. You look him up on Wikipedia. I've got Wikipedia up right now. His entire article fits on one page, and it's basically, it just says NXT. Patrick Clark, Velveteen Dream, he is a PC product. And these guys are doing phenomenally well. We've got plenty of PC products in that made it to WWE and have done great. And so, yeah, I obviously, like you said, Kelly, you've got to give, these existing stars, they've got to be the headliners, they've got to be selling the tickets. How do you think WWE has the money to have these guys come out to Minnesota, as opposed to, the first time they went to Philadelphia, that was 2015. I was there. 2015 was the first time NXT left Florida. How do you think they get the money for that? They don't get the money for that by putting, the Ham and Eggers at the top of the card. They get that by putting the Finn Balors, the Shinsuke Nakamuras, the Kevin Owens at the top of the card, the Samoa Joes at the top of the card. That's how they get to fill a 2,000 seat theater or whatever, and pay for that to come to your town. Do you want it to stop coming to your town? I don't want it to stop coming to my town. I live in the middle of South Carolina. I've had NXT house shows within an hour and a half drive of my where I live in Columbia two times in the last like 3-4 months. I didn't think that would be possible a year ago. And it's because they have the money, because they're getting the ticket sales, because they're putting these people at the top of the card. Thank you, Triple H. If that's the deal I've got to make to get NXT to come to my town, Kelly, you mentioned you're in Minnesota. I guarantee you would never see NXT in your town. if they couldn't sell those tickets.
It's, you know, if guys like Kona Reeves were the champion of NXT, it would be an okay show, but Kona Reeves isn't bringing NXT to Minnesota.
Yeah, that'll put some butts in seats. Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. You just look at this, and, you know, as much as I would love to see, you know, maybe in 6 months, dream will be that putting butts in seats attraction. As much as high as we are in the guy, right? We've been smoking Dream now for a couple weeks. Yeah. The fact is that Dream's not going to be selling tickets yet.
Yeah, and he spent time in MCW. He was actually Leo Rush's partner on the Indies, which is one of the major reasons that Leo was probably asked to put him over right away, is because they had a lot of familiarity with each other. So. That's the big, I don't know, that's a whole other thing with Leo Rush, and hopefully we get to talk about that later as he gets more screen time. But that is our show. Andrew, thank you for that email, and for the other guys who gave us emails too. They were great. If you want to send us one, pwtorchnxt@gmail.com, and we'll cover them, and if we start to get more and more and more of them, we'll cover the big ones and maybe consolidate if we have to. So hopefully that'll happen. And we're going to do our outro here, drop some Twitter handles on you, and we'll see you next week. I am at Spooky Milk. Kelly Wells is my name, at Spooky Milk. I don't do a lot there. The last thing that I did was congratulate Candice LeRae on being called up. I mostly talk to wrestlers or to other people who like wrestling. That is my Twitter existence. Tom, you?
Well, I am actually looking for a reason to compliment Kona Reeves in a big way. So if you want to see when I finally do that, I am at Tom Staup, which is STOUP on Twitter. And I'll just give a quick shout out to Harley, who's not with us tonight. He finally joins Twitter. He's up to 20 followers. And he is at Pastel Lemonade.
And James, again, I'm at Justin_M_James. Was it last week when I wasn't there when somebody made a comment about my middle initial, super pretentious, something like that?
That was last week.
And when I wasn't on the show to defend myself. And I'll tell you, folks, you've got to send in those questions. Thank you, Andrew. Please keep sending those questions, because otherwise I'm going to have to start sending in fake reader email. And you guys do not want us to have to answer my fake reader email questions or have to have those entire things read out loud.
It'll be effusive praise about Justin James.
Exactly. I will go into business for myself. You know, I will tear in every time I'm not. I'm telling you, I will take the show. I will not get out of this ring until I get my championship match. So you guys got to write those emails. We love them. Thank you.
All right. So, good episode of NXT this week, and hopefully a decent episode of PWT Talks NXT. We thank you for listening, and we will see you next week. Cheers, everybody.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject. And it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and Sure Dog contributor, Todd Martin. there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Cutter Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the Ask the Editor format of the Weight Cutter Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Pass Show with scouting reports on prospects, and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in-depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the live cast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip. Now